Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Thursday, 20th of May, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19, just two active cases, and one person's in Noble's ICU. The hospitality industry is under threat. Counterfeit goods have been seized on the Isle of Man. It's Census Day a week on Sunday. Honest it is. And the views of the MHK hopeful for Garth, Gareth Young, as we look forward to general election 2021 on a flume-free Thursday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. Fast Amai, Alex Watton.
Fast Amai, there have been no new cases of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours. It means the active number remains at 2, with one person being treated in ICU at Noble's Hospital. Travel and tourism businesses will continue to receive financial help from government until there's unrestricted travel between the island and the UK. Treasury announced the extension to the salary support scheme until level one of the border framework is reached. And the Broadway exit from Douglas Promenade will be closed from the beginning of next month. That closure is from the 1st to the 11th of June as the road surface and roundel markings are put in place. Further afield, Princess Diana's brother says he feels let down after a report found Martin Bashir deceived him to get his famous 1995 Panorama interview with her. The former BBC reporter has apologised for giving fake bank statements in a serious breach of the corporation's rules. A ruling that victims of a PIP breast implant scandal to be entitled to compensation has been welcomed by British women affected by it. A French court says a German company committed negligence by saying the implants were safe. And seven more people have died in the UK within 28 days of testing positive for coronavirus. More than 2,800 new cases have been confirmed in the last 24 hours. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gorobaya, thank you. Alex from the Ronalds Way Met Office. Irish Sea Weather has got a gale warning at sea for the next 24 hours. A gale warning in the North Irish Sea on the Isle of Man this evening. Wet. This evening and overnight on a fresh to strong southerly, turning north or northwesterly towards dawn, down to 10 Celsius. It's a filthy evening on the mountain, fog, some driving rain and wind as well. All the matrix signs are showing fog on the mountain road. For tomorrow, Friday, Chahenya, cloudy with showery outbreaks on a fresh to strong north-northwesterly. Top temperature 13 degrees. Overnight minimum is 7 into Saturday, Chasan. Sunny spells, isolated showers, and a moderate to fresh northwest wind, 12 degrees on Saturday, top temperature. High water this evening, 7 minutes past 7. Sunset, 23 minutes past 9. The overnight high tide, 28 minutes past 1 a.m. Sunrise, 6 minutes past 5. And the morning high tide at 20 past 7.
If you're looking for supply-only windows and doors, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate or call 674-573.
So the news is there have been no new cases of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours on the Isle of Man. The news is the active number of cases remains at 2. One person is being treated in ICU at Noble's Hospital. There have been 61,178 first doses of vaccine administered, 19,856. So we'll be up to over 20,000 tomorrow of second doses. There are 6,385 vaccinations booked in for the next 7 days, and we have 13,056 shots of vaccine in stock. And the breakdown is still 40% Pfizer, 60% AstraZeneca. Any delay in reopening the Isle of Man's borders beyond the 28th of June would have a very serious impact on the hospitality industry, says Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw. He made the comments after the Chief Minister spoke in Tynwald about the exit strategy. We'll hear first Mr. Robertshaw's concerns, then the Chief Minister.
An exhausted sector trying to build itself up to opening, if it then finds that the costs of moving towards the 28th and opening find that they are displaced because there's another further extension. There's a cost to that as well for the business, to businesses that are already exhausted. So I put it to the Chief Minister that a further delay in the 28th, in the opening date for the hospitality sector will be a very, very serious matter indeed. And there'll be costs all over the place. So I respectfully just draw his attention to that incredibly important point.
Mr. Robertshaw is absolutely right, as someone who has, shall we say, skin in the game in the tourism sector, building up when you've had very few bookings, and then getting your place ready, getting your staff ready for hotels, and then having the rug pulled from under your feet, Mr. President, is the last thing we want. And I know it would be an absolute last resort. And I've had to caveat, we are confident as much as we can that with the 28th we will achieve. But we have had to put a caveat down because the India variant is not, at this moment in time, the evidence is not there to say that it bypasses the vaccination, Mr. President, but there is evidence that is being assessed at this moment in time by the United Kingdom, and they will share that information within the next week, hopefully, that it may be significantly more contagious than the Kent variant. And the Kent variant was obviously more contagious, as we found out to our cost, than the earlier variant that we'd had on the island. So, yes, I totally take on board the Honourable Member's very serious concern.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
23 minutes before six, about £7,000 worth of counterfeit goods destined for car boot sales across the Isle of Man have been seized by the island's consumer watchdog, the Office of Fair Trading. Here's the OFT's chair, Martin Perkins.
As with the police, the OFT people have a good look round car boot sales because we know that that's a good place to offload things if it's stolen property or even if it's fake counterfeit goods. And what happened was we came across this stall selling goods, and as you say, the value was quite considerable. £7,000 is not to be sneezed at. And there was a selection of sort of sports bags and all T-shirts and shoes and cosmetics, all with top brand names, but absolutely totally fake.
So where does this stuff come from? I'm assuming it's not made on the Isle of Man. It must come from the UK or...
Yeah, it comes in from Liverpool, obviously, I would think. It's rife in the UK. And, you know, the way I feel about it, if somebody was using our TT logo and wasn't paying the full price for it, I'd be pretty upset. And I think, you know, the Gucci's and the Nike's and various people like that have every right to be upset as well.
So is this a common problem? Problem on the Isle of Man, do we know, or is not as bad as in the UK?
It's getting worse. I wouldn't say it's a massive problem, but the reason we, you know, the reason I've come in here today to have a quick chat is to tell you and the public that some of these goods are quite dangerous to the public. You know, we've seen cosmetics that could cause skin rashes and burning, and it's all Armani type labels on it, and the public should be wary of that. We haven't actually seen on the island, but we know of brake pads that are completely false, and that is so dangerous. You put your foot on the brakes and nothing will happen. And then the other extreme, we've seen red T-shirts from Liverpool Football Club. They go in the wash and everything else turns out pink. So.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
High-speed craft Manannan left Heysham at 2:07 this afternoon. She arrived in Douglas shortly before 4:20. Off tomorrow morning at 8:45 in Heysham for 11 o'clock. Back 2:15, arriving on the island at 4:30. Of course, a high-speed craft Manannan is currently replacing the Ben McCree on a current extended overhaul. Till the end of this month, the motorship Arrow providing the freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
If you're heading on Richmond Hill, this is especially for you. Motorists are facing 2 months of disruption heading between Douglas and the South and the South and Douglas. It's as works to improve drainage on Richmond Hill got underway today with 24-hour temporary traffic lights and 30-mile-an-hour speed limits in place, policed quite vigorously. Here are a few voices.
Yes, it certainly will impact on my school run in the morning. Yeah. What joy to hear that. I can't believe there's going to be more traffic lights.
Not directly, but I do have times and occasions where I do need to use the facility going up Richmond Hill. But what I'm thinking about is, like, sort of, this is not that long ago being a refurbished road, so surely this drainage problem would have been highlighted when they were doing that. So that would be a question I'd be asking. And not only that, is why can't they schedule these on an ongoing maintenance program where it's not impacting on day-to-day, where they do it, for example, like the twilight hours, where the roads are a little bit quieter?
Not so much living in the west, but there do seem to be roadworks everywhere at the moment, so maybe some of the others will.
I live down south, and I obviously work in Douglas, so I'm having to reroute all the way through past Abbotswood at the moment, because of Balasala being disrupted, which is now causing a huge amount of traffic to follow through all the way to the Braid. It's very frustrating because you have to leave at least 15, 20 minutes before. So that's leaving the house earlier, it's getting back later, because even in the evening time, I do notice that a lot more traffic, all trying to find their routes home.
It's not going to impact me really, however, in the morning. There's just congestion everywhere, so it's impacting everybody, which is really frustrating.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
18 minutes before six, Bitcoin's taking investors on another wild ride. The biggest cryptocurrency plunged more than 30% at one point yesterday, and 50% from an all-time high of $64,000, $870, reached in April this year before rebounding rapidly, helping drive the declines, which wiped $500 billion in market value, were recent moves by China barring the use of cryptocurrencies. Another blow were the cryptic statements by Elon Musk, whose earlier embrace helped fuel the rise. The Tesla CEO recently suspended its use to buy cars. The history of assets like Bitcoin, though, is littered with rallies and sell-offs, and the story continues. World-renowned cuisine uses leftovers to go green. It's true. Air France is flying its low-emissions fuel flag high with an Airbus 350 flight from Paris to Montreal using 16% sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, made from used cooking oil. Produced by French energy group Total, biofuel's more expensive, but it's got the potential to slash carbon emissions. Airlines accounted for 2.5% of global emissions in 2019, but that halved last year due to the pandemic. Flights leaving France from 2022 must use 1% SAF to hit EU goals of 2% by 2025 and 5% by 2030, as per the bloc's Green Deal policy.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as investors' appetite for riskier assets returned. The dollar lost ground, oil was lower, and gold steadied as the dollar drifted lower. In corporate news, Experian was the top gainer, having fallen on Wednesday, despite saying it made a strong start to the current financial year. And the numbers now, the close in London, Ramsey Crookall report, the FTSE 100 up 1%. 7,019. The DAX in Frankfurt closed up 1.7% at 15,370. In New York City, the trading day continues. The Dow Jones Industrial up 0.9% at 34,200. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 1.75% at 13,536. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 1.2%, 4,165. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 41.8 cents, €1 16 cents, and 19 South African rand 82.2 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold up 0.7% at $1,881 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 0.5% at $66.34.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A week on Sunday, the 30th of May, is Census Day, and the way it's being conducted is leading to much comment. Here's Tim Glover.
Government is encouraging people to complete the census online. Everyone should receive a letter with a unique access code by next Wednesday. You need to email or ring 685 700 if you want an alternative way of completing the census. This caller to the man in line has done just that.
I've had my letter from the census office, and I don't do online. So I rang them, and I got an answer machine. So I'm afraid the ball is well and truly back in their court, because if they don't ring me, I ain't doing the census.
According to the government website, the number has been available since Tuesday. Several callers said they have tried and been cut off. Well, I tried the number over the space of 2 hours today, and each time this happened. Other callers and messages to the man in line were adamant they didn't want to or couldn't complete the census online.
I said, well, I don't want to do it online. Why didn't they just put a paper census out with a box in it to say, are you computer literate and are you online? And then for the next census, they'd know how many people.
I hope those of us who choose not to use the internet can be respected.
I have received a form. But it's to the wrong address. I think they need to sort their problems out there. It's going to be a mess up, isn't it?
Manx Radio Sport.
Faster May, Rhiann Evans.
Faster May, good evening. There's little rest for the wicked for one Manx runner as she goes from strength to strength. Sarah Aston's brilliant early season form has been rewarded by selection to represent England in this Sunday's Loughborough International. The local athlete already has England cross-country vests and British Milers Club's road racing to her credit, but this will be her first one on track for England, where she'll compete in the women's 3,000 metres. She'll be up against athletes from Scotland, Wales, GB and Northern Ireland under-20s and Loughborough University. It's the first time an England track and field team has competed in a home event since August 2019 and is a substantial step towards next year's Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. The event is due to be live streamed, so you should be able to watch Sarah, but more information on how to do so can be found on this story on the Manx Radio Sports page. Well, with just a few weeks left of the Isle of Man Senior Netball League, attention is now turning to the big finale. On Sunday, the 6th of June, the NSC will host the Judy Clark Wilson Charity Cup. The event will see playoffs between the top two finishers in each division for the 2020-21 season. Division 2 playoff centre pass gets underway at 9 o'clock, Division 1 playoff centre pass at 10, with the Premier Division capping things off at 11 o'clock. Spectators are massively encouraged, and tickets are £3 per game or £6 for all three matches. Children under five are free. All the money raised from the competition will be supporting the Isle of Man Netball Charity of the Year, details of which are soon to be announced. The cup is in memory of Judy Clark Wilson, one of the key founders of the Manx Netball Association, who sadly passed away at the end of last year. Further afield in cricket, and India will play their first pink ball test on the 30th of September when they face Australia in Perth in a first test meeting between the teams in 15 years. Mitali Raj will lead the tourists against Meg Lamming's side in the multi-format series. And in football, David Beckham has been inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. The former Manchester United midfielder's entry concludes the six players to be voted for by the public. He joins Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Dennis Bergkamp, Roy Keane and Eric Cantona on the list. Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry were the inaugural inductees.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6 on Manx Radio. The 10 to 5 Loganair to Liverpool, the patient transfer plane, hasn't left yet. They're still boarding at gate 5. Ronald's Way. It's due back in a little less than an hour's time at 6:40, so we'll wait and see. On the roads, Richmond Hill, the main drainage improvement work has started today. The fun is endless until Saturday, 24th of July, in Ballasalla. Temporary lights on the main road near the new housing estate. Cool Road's got temporary lights 24 hours a day for telecoms work. In Crosby, just above Crosby, a stretch of the Mount Rule Road's closed till 8 o'clock for drainage work. In Douglas, top end of the promenade by the MER tram sheds. Temporary lights there for the next 4 weeks. Repairs to the sea, well, it just blends into the rest of the promenade, doesn't it? Laxey Glen Road closed for the new river wall till the 6th of August. Paul Rose Bridge is closed. There's still those closures around Ballabruey Drive and Avenue for the Manx Gas upgrade works. A look out in Ramsey, section of Parliament Street's closed. Diversions via Tower Street and Water Street. Elsewhere in Ramsey, Glen Elphin Road, South Prom and Stanley Mount have got some restrictions as well.
Massimo Tyres. Budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at Keyside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
This year, 2021, is Isle of Man general election year. On Thursday, 23rd of September, 24 MHKs representing 12 constituencies will be elected to sit in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. And on Manx Radio's update, our election pledge to you is to give you the opportunity to hear the voices of every candidate standing in every constituency. And in this update, Gareth Young is a Manx Labour Party member who's standing in Garth. The other candidate who's declared for Garth is Daphne Kane. But this is Gareth Young.
My children are growing up here and I want to see things improving for them. And I'm a big believer in the fact that if you want to see things change and you want to actually have things move forward and be progressive, then you need to be willing to put yourself out there as well.
And standing as a member of the Manx Labour Party, why Indeed. For them?
I grew up originally in a very conservative left-led household, in my dad. And then when I was young, my parents split and my mum and stepdad, he's been that father figure for me for 30-odd years now, talked me through differences and which way they leant because of those differences. And I'm a big believer in keeping as much of the public aspect for the people as possible. Don't get me wrong, I understand businesses and private enterprise has its place with everything, and you have to build really good partnerships with that between the public side of things and the private side of business. But I tend to lean towards the left because of those policies that really look after things like education and the NHS and the welfare systems, and I'm a true believer in them.
Why have you gone straight for the House of Keys and not down the local authority route?
Aim high, more than anything.
Members of local authorities might think, oh, what does that mean?
my viewpoint was the fact that I wanted to try and help as much as possible. And the way that I could do that was to aim for the House of Keys rather than just local commissioners. Because if I want to leave the island a better place for everybody, then I think you need to have the wider perspective rather than just the local area. And don't get me wrong, the local area is really important. There's lots of issues in Garth that need looking into and that need sorting out. And I want to work on those things. But those bigger projects as well, you can only really affect as a member of the House of Keys.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
The feeling is there are some big holes in the Health Department's mandate for Manx Care, but it's a good start. Alex Watton with the detail after a general debate in Tynwald.
Some members had issues with some of the wording and others were worried about what were described as vagaries, but there did seem to be general consensus that on the whole it was a good starting point whilst needing development. Middle MHK Bill Shimmons called for the debate to be an annual one.
I presume this is going to be an annual debate because then I think people could look back and see what has been discussed in the previous year, and then when you get to next May, then actually we could see if promises have been adhered to and how progress has been made.
A number of members picked up on what were described as these big holes in the document, some more concerned than others. Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper.
The Minister in his remarks mentioned the operating plan, the overview document, and the Manx Care Act is quite clear on what's supposed to happen in year two. You produce an operating plan that's laid alongside the mandate. And I think the spirit of the Act is very clear that the operating overview document for year one should have had the same, because they are two sides of the same coin. And without seeing that detailed plan, it's really hard to talk about whether the mandate is fit for purpose or not. And I think it is a bit of a big disappointment for me, actually, that we can't see the operating plan, the overview, at the same time as the mandate.
Douglas South MHK Claire Christian was interested in mental health and waiting times.
I would ask that the mandate should clearly include mental health waiting times in support of our mental health strategy, and hope the Minister will assure that this is Manx care priority also. What goals are they setting to address mental health waiting times, which also supports Objective 4 to develop a plan to evidence that there is an equitable focus on improving physical and mental health outcomes?
In the end, Mr Ashford was grateful for the critique and gave some assurance.
There are holes. It's been described as gaping holes in some cases. It's mentioned about primary care and the language around the contract. At this point in time, we wanted to get something in, and that was what we could put in because of what we hold. Now, is that what we want in the future? No, most definitely not. Is that what I want in the future to say? No. But this is the whole point. This is the first go at it. You know, some said version one. I'd say it's version 0.1. It's the real starting stepping stone.
That's it for Update Tonight. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Ewan Gorn, I'm Andy Winter. By the way, if you're listening to this update as a podcast, anywhere in the world, any time of day or night, then you're more than welcome every evening to get a helping of Manx News. And if you know somebody you think will enjoy a bulletin of news from the Isle of Man, tell them that Update's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, Spotify, or the TuneIn app. Get the details at the App Store or at manxradio.com. Well, I would say enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening, but it's horrible weather, so stay warm.
WINT.